Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Theologically Speaking, and I'm your host, Jose Dorsey. I'd just like to always pause and thank all of you out there for listening in and supporting this juncture of our ministry. We bring you greetings from the Center of Spirit and Truth, where we champion the cause of Christ and truly seek to worship Him in spirit and truth. Over at Center of Spirit and Truth, I am the pastor, and I've been so blessed to serve in this community and serve among this flock. It's been a very rich experience. And one of the things that we pride ourselves on is being able to dig into doctrine and understand exactly what the Bible is saying. We try to weed out all of the philosophies, the personal apprehensions, and the different things that we might think, and try to discern exactly what is God saying to us in our lives. We have so many different issues and things in our communities and in the world that's taking place that one of the things that we need to do is be able to get to that moral code and be able to understand exactly what it is that the moral code is saying to us. I learned that when we go off of our own moral code, we mess it up. We just mess it up every single time. But thank God that He's given us a universal moral code, better known as His Bible, His word, His will, His way, His principles, that we are able to look at and understand the mind of God and how we are to be acceptable unto Him. Listen, I don't want to go any further without first praying and asking God's blessings upon this show. So wherever you are, if you just kind of pause with us for a moment of prayer, we greatly appreciate it. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we humbly come before You. We thank You for this day, this time that You've appointed to us, that You've given to us to reflect on Your word, on Your principles, on Your way. God, help us to see ourselves and evaluate ourselves and what we're doing, how we're conducting ourselves so that we may be more acceptable unto You. Help us to be the people that You called us to be. Help us to be able to look at Your word and not just be hearers, but also be doers. God, this walk is not always easy. We know that You know that it's tough sometimes, so we ask You to be with us. Keep us, guide us, God. Bless us to be more mindful of Your heart, Your will toward us. Help us to stand on Your principles so as we go forward, we can stand being strong Christians and strong-minded in the things that You have taught us in Your word. God, we're going to be careful to give You all honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, we gladly say amen. Listen, I'm so excited to have another opportunity to do this show. I never take any single show lightly. It's a blessing every single time that I have an opportunity to come and share something with us that challenges our thinking in one way or the other. If you leave our show and you have a thought on your mind and it causes you to think deeply about a subject or it causes you to go into your word, guess what? I've done my job. My job is to get you to think about these things that are so difficult for some reason for us to talk about, so that we can help others come to a conversion decision or progress somewhat in their spiritual walk. So whoever that is or whatever that situation might be, we ask that, you know, as you listen to this show, that prayerfully you listen to it with an open mind so that we can help you. Listen, on today's show, one of the things that we're going to be talking about is truth and consequences. Truth and consequences. We have this thing going on within the body of Christ where we live in a relativistic society. And what I mean by that is we do things that are relative to what we think and how we, our own methods, our methodologies. What am I saying? We perceive morality or we perceive what is right and wrong based on what we think is relative to us. So if it feels good to us, if it's something that we desire, we find a way to, like, make right and wrong bend around our will. But, see, the Bible doesn't work that way. The Bible doesn't just bend around our will. Actually, the Bible communicates the will of God for us to bend. That means conform to his word. For some reason, we have it backwards. We think that, okay, Jesus lived. He died on the cross for my sins. Therefore, I have the opportunity to just basically go and do whatever I want to do. Slap yourself. The Bible is not telling you that. You need to wake up from that coma dream that you was just having. Because the reality is you're out of touch with what the Bible is actually saying to us. The truth is you're going to find yourself in situations where you're confronted with the opportunity to sin, which is temptation. Temptation is the invitation to sin. Okay. And so when you're confronted with this invitation, what are you going to do? And the reality is, I want to tell somebody today, the reality is, depending on how you approach that thing, it matters as to what consequence you will receive. Now, you might be one of those people that think that, okay, I fall down, God knows I'm going to fall down, I fall down and God's going to forgive me. Is God going to forgive me when I fall? Yes, he will. Make no mistake about it, yes, he will. But understand that when you fall down, when you sin, when you transgress against God, in your fallen state, God still loves you. It does not prevent him from loving you. It does not cause him to withdraw from you. But understand, in your fallen state, though you fail, though you transgress, he loves you. He's still there to forgive you. He forgives you. But there are still consequences for your actions. I think we, in this microwave society where we want to have things, we want to do things our way, right away, like with Burger King or something like that. And I'm not advertising Burger King. I'm vegan. And that little burger that they got over there, that veggie burger out over there is horrible, by the way, for me. So I'm not listening to Burger King. But what I'm saying is we have such a Burger King kind of mentality. We want things our way, right away, and we'll get them however way we can get them. So what that causes us to do is that causes us to go to church and we analyze church in such a way that, like, we're shopping. Yep, we do it. We go shop church. What can church do for me? But the reality is we need to realize, first of all, that I'm the church. Can I do to have, where can I serve in my church? See, we got the Jody Watley mentality. What have you done for me lately? Ooh, yeah. But the reality is we come to do a spiritual thing looking at it through naturalistic perspective. We want some tangible things to happen, but we expect God to operate in a supernatural way. And see, we contradict ourselves and we live relativistic. Things are based on what I want because I'm so microwave. Let me start to be plain because I don't want to be too seminary. I don't want to be too deep. I want us to, like, really get this and understand this. What I'm saying is because we want things our way, we tend to look at things and we tend to try to make things fit what we want, what we believe. We tend to rename things and reclassify things to make it fit what we want. Oh, that's not a lie, that's a white lie. But what we don't realize, a lie is still a lie. We tend to recategorize things. It's not a same sex relationship, but really they're life partners. And I'm not speaking against homosexuality. If we can deal with that on a totally different day if we have to deal with it in the context of what the Bible says. But ultimately, we find our ways reclassifying things. Bible says that we shall not, that we're not supposed to steal. But some of us will sit down during this tax season and we'll lie about our exemptions. We'll move things around and say some things are not true. I'm not even talking about, like, colorfully articulating. I'm talking about, like, straight-out lie. There's some people working part-time, didn't even make more than $10,000, $15,000, but you're going to get about $10,000 back. Because we found a way to puff things up, and it's relativistic. It's relative to what we believe, relative to what we want. I'm willing to almost do anything that I want to do in order to get back. Get the return of what I want. And I want to tell you today that the Bible says that that's wrong. See, I don't know what type of show we was expecting today, but we talking about truth and consequences. What is the truth? The truth is God's word is not changing. The truth is no matter how you want to try to bend it, no matter what denomination you declare yourself to be, no matter how much you spit and throw water and fall up and down the aisleways and run up and down and speak in tongues and all of that, if God isn't authorizing that, you're just putting on a show. That's just relative to what you want. Okay, Master Prophet, Master Apostle, Master Bishop, if that's what you want to be called. But the reality is, did God call you to be Master Prophet? Because I didn't see that nowhere in his word. Master Bishop, I didn't see that nowhere in his word. It's relative to what you want. You want yourself to be esteemed so highly that we take on these different roles and these different titles. But if God didn't have nothing to do with it, I declare that somebody needs to get somewhere and sit down. Because you're not fooling nobody. Who are you fooling? Chances are you're fooling yourself. Let's go into some word. Galatians 6 and 7, part of the context of what we're representing tonight, and we'll get into the other aspect that comes from Luke 29. But right now, look at Galatians 6 and 7 when you have an opportunity to flip over and peer at it. The Bible says, I'm reading from the ESV version. Anytime I'm reading on this show, chances are I'm reading from the ESV version. I covered before why. But anyway, Galatians 6 and 7, the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. I'm going to just continue reading. I know I said 6 and 7, but I want this to jump out at you. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Here it is. Understand that the things that you do, there's going to be a season time. You've laid those seeds. You planted those seeds. So God is showing us right here in his word that what you have reaped, what you have sowed, what you sow, what you send out, be prepared for it. It's coming back. And what you've actually sowed, understand that what's coming back to you, we call those consequences. Now, out there in the world, they might call it karma. And, you know, we tend to say that karma is a B, capital B. And y'all know what that stands for. I want to keep it spiritual on the show. But understand, we say that because we believe that karma has a way of dealing with us in such a way that can be oftentimes uncomfortable. Why is it uncomfortable? It's oftentimes uncomfortable because of the seeds that we planted, because of what we've already sown into the ground. That's a proverbial statement. Because of the things you've done, the lies that you've told, the places that you've been, the different things that you've done,
So here it is. Throughout my life growing up, I was a young man, young, handsome man, because that's what the ladies told me. I look so good and I'm so fine. And then, you know, I was the ladies' man and all of that. Well, imagine how that came back. I thought it was good to have all these notches on my belt and look like a certain thing in public, and all the ladies loved me. But then here it is on the flip side when I began to do ministry. See, the enemy remembered all of those different women that I used to creep with and all the different places that I used to hang out and the things that I used to do. And so now I'm out trying to spread the word, and somebody says, hey, I remember you. See that? See how I read? So now I'm trying to reach those same souls that I used to creep with and tip with in the same places that I used to hang with and all of that, and they're not convinced. They're not convinced because that is the consequence of what I've done. See, the consequence is, my friend, if you want to be considered a truthful person, you need to tell the truth, because when you're planting those seeds, when you're sowing lies, understand that you're going to get a lie harvest. There's no way you can expect to plant some apple seeds and then look for an orange tree. Come on now, I wish I was talking to somebody here. There's no way that you can put some watermelon in the ground and then expect for you to go get some pineapples. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Why? Because God didn't make this principle to happen. Matter of fact, when God speaks, let me teach you this for free. When God speaks, he speaks in universality. He speaks very universally. So it's pretty much, it's universal. It can be applied in many facets. And one of the things that God said so profoundly is that everything reproduces after its own kind. Think about that. When you sow in seeds of lies, you cannot get a harvest of truth, because truth is not the same kind as a lie. I wish I was preaching today. I'm not even preaching on this show right now. Understand that everything must reproduce after its own kind. Bible says that what you sow, that shall you also reap. So you can't get a harvest of truth. Let's do trust. Struggling with some things in my life that deals with trust and how I trust people and how I want people to trust me. Come on, if you're the type of person that if you want someone to trust you, you have to sow some trustworthy seeds. And let me just be real with you, because it's a peculiar tree that comes to trust. Trust is a peculiar kind of tree. Trust is a peculiar kind of seed. Because if you've been sowing seeds of trust, you will get a trust harvest. Now, understand, if somewhere in there you've broken something up and you sowed seeds that damaged that trust, I wonder what kind of harvest you're going to get. You may not get a full trust harvest. Now, understand that you can cultivate it. You can prune that thing. You can work on it. And then in time it can be healed, because that harvest that grew, it might not be full of all trust. It might be some doubt in there. But you might get seeds that get pure, and you take those seeds. And less and less over time, the doubt began to trickle out of the genes, out of the genetic fiber of that spiritual genetic fiber of that seed. Come on, I'm talking today. That spiritual genetic fiber. And then what happens is, over time, you begin to develop that trust right back, because you're no longer sowing that doubt into that harvest. And so your history shows that you've been you planting seeds that are worthy of trust, so you get that harvest back of trust. Because God says everything reproduces after its own kind. I just want to go share this. Jump over here with me to Luke 29. Let me see, I'm trying to get Luke 29 up. And for some reason, Luke 29 is not coming up. Gotta excuse me for a moment. I'm working with this here, and you don't want to work with me. Amen. Why is Luke 24 coming up? So, offer. Okay. As we look, one of the things I got my scripture. It's supposed to be Luke 23. We're going to Luke 23 and 39. I'm sorry, I'm so goofy today. Please forgive me. But as we go to Luke 23. I keep saying that backwards. 23 and 39. Let me read these next few scriptures because I really want you to see something. I'm ready to get off of this show and leave you alone for the day. The Bible says one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ?" Bickering at him. He basically mocking him. "Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Understand something here. This man has clearly identified that he is receiving a worthy recompense for his actions. He recognized that in my culture, when I am in dissonance with my society, I recognize that the societal norm or the people have collectively said that this punishment deserves death. I rightly deserve that punishment because I rightly saw this action. Understand that although Jesus said that he will be with them in paradise, that did not alleviate or that did not take aside his consequence. I'm going to talk to you. A lot of us are thinking that forgiveness and consequence are not hand in hand, but the reality is you will be forgiven, but they have nothing to do with you incurring the consequence. So, what does that mean? This man, he was forgiven, he was received in paradise, but he still hung on that cross next to Jesus, and he still died that very painful death. What can we receive from this tonight? There are times where you're going to be forgiven. You may have done the worst thing and expect God to show up and show out, and he does, and he forgives you, and he gives you that redemption and reconciliation, but trust and believe that there are still consequences for your actions. The truth is, God did not design it for you to escape the consequences. Here it is, David. Y'all know the story of David, and he looked over and he admired Bathsheba, and he went in and he had her come to him, and he slept with her, and he did all of these horrible things. He had her husband killed on the front line and all this stuff, and here it is, she's pregnant and she has the baby, and the baby gets sick. As we look at the story, we find that, you know, God actually speak and say, "This baby is not going to recover. This baby is not going to recover." So as God has said, the baby died. Now watch this. The pain that David went through. Yes, David was a man after God's own heart. Yes, David did some horrible things. Yes, David still was blessed of God. Yes, he still was forgiven of God. But the reality is the baby still died. The reality is the kingdom was still torn in two. The reality is he still ran from his son Absalom. The reality is he still had different times where he had to flee for his own life. The reality is he still had to suffer through different consequences in his life. God will love you. But be careful what you're putting out there, beloved, because the Bible even teaches us that God chastens those whom he loves. So his word cannot come back to him null and void. Let's go back to Galatians. Galatians is basically saying, let me pull this up on my computer. Galatians 6 and 7. But Galatians is basically saying, don't fool yourself. Don't even start fooling yourself. Don't make yourself believe something that's really not true. Because the reality is, God is not mocked. You're not fooling God. You're not making God look like a fool. You're the one that's going to have to endure this consequence. God is above consequence. He issues consequence. He dispatches consequence. He invented consequence. He created it. So by no means can his word come back to him null and void. And he said, listen, if you do this, then understand that you have to suffer through the consequence for what you've done. The reality is, what is your truth? What is the truth about the seeds that you're planting? What is the truth about the things that you are doing? What is the truth of how you're thinking about God and his principles and his word as it relates to your life. What is your truth that you're walking in right now? Now, come on, you can Mother Teresa it on the outside. You can Dr. Martin Luther King it on the outside. You can look like the most profound spiritual person on the outside, but what is really and truly in your heart? What is your ambition? What is your motivation? Because God knows the inside. You could listen to gospel music all day, run up and down the aisleways, shout, speak in tongues, shirk and jerk with the best of them, but God knows the intentions of your heart. What a shame it is if we can do all of these things that look so good and holy and spiritual, but on the inside of our hearts we're hateful. We're not loving. The Bible teaches us that the greatest of all the gifts that we can have is love, charity. Charity starts at home. It's greater to be able to prophesy than to be able to speak in tongues, but we want to look a certain way on the outside, and God is saying, okay, I see you, but don't you know I know your inside? You fooling everybody else around you, but meanwhile, while you're playing church, while you're flipping out, and while you're acting so holy, I know that you're not holy on the inside. I know that you're really sowing seeds of discord. I know that you are not really my son or my daughter. I know that you speak about me, but your heart is far from me. I know that there's something about you that's detached from me. I know that you don't even really believe. You don't really believe me. Because if you had, you'd probably be so convicted, so caught up, so in love Jesus, so in love with God, and so in love with how much he even loves you, that there would be a change that happened inside of you. You proclaim the gospel outwardly with your mouth, but you're hateful on the inside. I don't know who I'm talking to today. Today I would like to challenge you to get somewhere in your quiet time and just be real with God about who you are, whose you are, and ask yourself, do you truly belong to him? What do I mean? The word Christian means of Christ, like Christ, or belonging to Christ. Does your heart really belong Christ? Are the things that you're doing, are the seeds that you're sowing right now, are they of God? How you feel? I ain't talking about what people see you do on the outside and how you brag about God on your Facebook page or how you're on Instagram talking about you believe and how you videoing yourself giving away money and food to people. That looks nice on the outside. But are you truly given to God on the inside? Who are you? What are you doing? As I ask when we do our meditation, why are you here? Are you living in your purpose? Are you being obedient to God? What type of seeds are you sowing? Okay, so that we dealt with the truth. You need to find out your truth, your real truth. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell anybody else. You don't have to show it off. You don't have to brag about it. What is your real truth on the inside, your intimate truth that God already knows? And then the consequences. What seeds are you sowing? What type of harvest will you get back based on the seeds that you're sowing? Is God going to be pleased with you if you're looking a certain way on the outside and you're really feeling and conducting yourself contrary to that on the inside? I mean, come on. If you're acting like something other than what's on the inside of you, I heard somebody say that's called identity theft. You stole your own identity. But God is not mocked. Think about these truths and consequences. Listen, that's been our show. That's been our time. I would like to thank you for tuning in once again. With Theologically Speaking, I'm your host, Jose Dorsey. I hope something has been said today. Feel free to give us a call to tune in or to ask questions or to find out where we are so that we can receive you in our church home. 313-221-7600. That's 313-221-7600. Until next time, we love you and God bless. Mm-hmm.